Welcome to Tech Webcast, Australia's leading technology show. Download our iPhone app, www.techwebcast.info.
Welcome to episode 113 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 12th of February 2011. Today's hosts are Brad, Dylan and Jason, with special guest the Angry Aussie. Over to you, Brad.
Hello, Jason, and hello to Dylan. What's up, guys?
How's it going, man?
I'm going pretty well, mate. And Dylan, what's up, buddy?
What's going on?
What's going on, man? You weren't here last week.
Yeah, I got stuck in the ice. I was out of town, and I was supposed to catch a bus back here at 7 o'clock in the evening, but unfortunately, by 7 o'clock in the evening, we had half an inch of ice.
Oh, okay. So all good, mate. All good. All
you
good.
Finally thawed out.
You what?
You finally thawed out.
Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah,
he said
yeah,
he was stuck in the ice, so I hope he thawed out.
Yeah, I think he did. I think he did. So, Dylan, what's going on with the podcast, mate? That's the question I want to ask you before we get into the guest. Any podcasts coming up, mate?
Yeah, we're recording an episode tomorrow. I don't know if I'm doing part or all. It depends on TJ's schedule. But it'll either be released tomorrow or Sunday. And it'll be the newest episode of Tech Soup. And our guest will be TJ, known as the Amazing Atheist on YouTube.
Wicked, mate. Good stuff. Special guest, we've got Andrew from Angry Aussie, the YouTube channel. How are you, mate?
G'day. G'day, listeners. How's it all going? Good. Hey, Brad, Jason.
That doesn't sound very angry.
Yeah.
No. I always start off with a friendly greeting and then just launch into it, you know.
So,
rage taking over.
What makes you angry, Andrew?
I mean, pretty much everything. We were talking before starting the podcast, I was talking with Jason about where did Angry Aussie come from?
Yep.
And it was a preconceived idea to do stuff as a character. It started off as a written blog. And the key thing is, okay, what are you angry about? And my reply was often, if you're not angry, you're just not paying attention. And my key thing was, anger done properly is really empowering. And people always get told, no, you're not allowed to get angry. You're not allowed to express that emotion. And the people who tell you that are normally the people doing stuff that you should be really, really angry about. And they're just trying to keep you down. So I'm like, no, man. Anger is cathartic, anger is powerful, and I'm a big supporter of it.
Cool, dude. Cool. And how did it all get started, and how long have you been around for doing the videos?
Like I said, I did start writing a blog. The idea is I wanted to do something creative. Been doing office work for, 10 years. My tertiary degree was actually in theatre, and somehow I ended up doing work in IT as a business analyst for 10 years, and I wanted to do something creative, and I thought, I'm going to work up some ideas for some stand-up comedy, and I'm going to use a blog to start up material. And I came up with an idea of the blog, more or less to force myself to keep going. I called it Angry 365 Days a Year, and the idea is I had to post at least one angry thing every day for a year, which I actually met. But after I'd been doing it for a few months and I'd picked up a few followers, some people were telling me I should do a podcast of the material, and I was thinking of it. Mm-hmm. But YouTube was just starting to get big, and I got broadband for the first time. And I thought, I'll go straight to video. Why not? Because that's like practicing for live stand-up. And I think I'm coming up to my 5th anniversary on YouTube. And what I learned is you can get a bigger audience and stand a better chance of making money on YouTube than you can slogging your guts out in the live stand-up comedy scene. So I'm trying to stick with the YouTube thing now, and more than 1,200 videos later, I'm still going.
Good on you. So I want to ask you a question now. What are your thoughts on Tony Abbott? Now, I've got my thoughts, and I saw Jason's probably got his thoughts too, but what's your opinion on that?
Look, he's the epitome of my Friday videos. I do a roundup of the week.
Yep.
I've been doing for a couple of years now, I think. TFU Friday, totally fucked up Friday, where I just pick like the most extreme examples of humans just sucking the big one. And yep. Abbott's been popping up repeatedly lately. just with his general craziness and whatnot, but his effort, like the one that's doing the rounds this week, is his effort with saying shit happens about the dead soldier, which I don't think is a big thing. It's just a really, really clueless thing for a politician to say.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
It's really quite ignorant and clueless. It's not that important in terms of the bigger picture, but how he reacted when that Channel 7 dude showed him the stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. That was unbelievable.
Oh, 30 seconds of silent crazy.
Yep, that was unbelievable.
Wow, that was mental. Just watching him is like, wow, your head's going to explode, isn't it? Yeah. No, I think it's a joke. I am not a fan. I'm definitely, just on a political bent, I'm not on the Liberal Party ideology. But with him specifically and some of the extreme elements he pushes, I'm really, really not a fan.
Yeah, true, true. What sort of technology do you use to make your videos and stuff and that sort of good stuff?
I've gone through a few cameras over the years. I have to admit, for simplicity and power, I like the Sanyo Exacti lines of cameras. There's a fair range. The bottom end ones are about $200 or $300. I'm not sure how much the top end ones were. Last time I bought one, which was probably about 2 years ago, it cost me nearly $1,000. But it shoots in really good quality HD. It's a small sort of pistol grip handheld camera. And it shoots brilliant quality, and I haven't felt the need to replace it yet. So that's my camera of choice, just because it's cheaper than the competition, and it's never given me any problems. It's really good quality. And the editing software I use is ULEAD Video Studio. Corel brought it, so it's Corel Video Studio now. And seriously, the only reason I use that is it was one of those bundled things on a PC when I got a new PC. And I taught myself to use it, and I'm quite happy with it, and I've paid for a few upgrades over the year. So, yes, for anyone who wonders, why do people bundle stuff on PCs? Sometimes people end up paying for it. I did.
All right.
So, yeah, it's basically I've got a Windows PC that I edit on, and... yeah, that's about the extent of my high-techery.
All right, so Jason or Dylan, you got any questions for Andrew?
So, Andrew, your favourite comic book character would be the Hulk then, yeah?
Yes, no. Jason and I know each other from the old days. No, not so much the Hulk. I am still a Sandman fan.
I was just going to say Sandman.
Yeah, Jason and I know each other from an old chat group where I used Morpheus as a username.
Nearly 15 years ago now.
Yeah, we old school. 90s IRC. Yeah. And I have to admit my current favourite is The Walking Dead. That is an awesome comic. I love it so much. Zombie Apocalypse.
Is that like a graphic novel or something?
Yeah, it's an ongoing graphic novel. It's still going. They made a TV miniseries of it in the US, aired at Halloween last year. It was just a six-parter.
Yep.
And I believe that went well enough that they're doing another series. But the TV show was very good, a six-part zombie series. But the comic, which has been going for years, like it's a monthly comic, has been going for years and years. It's just awesome. It's so brutal. It's just, you know, really nasty zombie apocalypse stuff.
All right. Okay. Any questions, Dylan? For
I actually do have a question, and it's not really related to the content that you do or anything. It's just I always enjoy asking YouTubers this. Who is your favorite YouTuber?
My favorite YouTuber is probably my longest term friend on YouTube, Corey Williams, who's known as Mr. Safety or SMP Films.
I remember watching him back in like 2007.
Yeah, he's one of the, I guess, the original people who started to make a name on YouTube. And we made friends on YouTube yonks ago. I was the first person he subscribed to on YouTube, actually. That's my claim to fame.
Really?
Yeah, really.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but because I've stayed at Corey's place and he's stayed at my place, we've made some videos together. He's a lot of fun to work with. He's insanely professional. He so focuses on tiny details. I feel like I just bang videos out compared to him. He fixates on the tiniest technical details. God, he's a guy who could talk to you about the technical nature of making videos. He's hardcore.
All right.
Cool. Do you get much feedback for your shows?
I do. On average, because I've got so many videos, I mean, a new video will get, if it engages with people, it will get a couple hundred comments over, you know, the first week it's up. But given how many videos I have up, people still comment on older ones. So I'm usually getting, I guess, hundreds of little comments, bits of feedback a day, which is a bit of a challenge to keep up with, quite honestly. But, you know, people, if you engage with an audience, they're very good about giving you feedback. Not all of it nice, of course.
A few trolls.
Oh, yeah. Look, they come out of the woodwork, but I just treat them, you know, I'm a big believer in the don't feed the trolls policy, but sometimes they just make it too easy to tear into them.
Sometimes it is fun to screw with them. I have the same thing. I got like two or three videos on my channel that I posted in 2008. These videos have, one of them has like 26,000 views, the other one has like 34,000 views, and they get hundreds of views every day, and they still get comments every now and then. So I always make sure I go in and check, and I try to reply to every comment.
Yeah, and people really appreciate that. I mean, I reply to almost every comment, and I get people often saying, oh, not many people at your level do that. And they'll complain about, you know, one of the big megastars not doing it, and I mean, look at the number of comments on the videos. And they get thousands, if not tens of thousands of comments. It's physically impossible to reply to any comments.
Just earlier, I was watching Ray William Johnson's new video that he put out today. And I watched half the video and saw it was like 300-some comments. Quick to refresh. I was like, what? How many is this getting a second? I actually sat there and refreshed for a few seconds, and it was getting like 10, 15, 20 comments every second. When you get that many, there's just no way you can reply to hardly any of them.
Well,
we'll read them.
That's crazy.
Or yeah, even reading them would be a major challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, Andrew, do you get much into technology? Like, you have an iPhone or an iPad or anything like that?
I do. I've got an iPhone 4, which I'm a huge fan of.
Oh, wicked. Good stuff. I have one too.
Mm. I held out because with mobile phones, the camera on it was important to me.
Yep.
And I thought prior to the iPhone 4, basically, Apple hadn't put a decent camera on the phone. I was using a Nokia N95 before that. I quite like the camera on it. This is the YouTuber in me. Just like if I'm out and about and something happens, I want to be able to take pictures or take video.
Yeah.
And I don't always have my formal camera with me. So I'm really happy with the iPhone, the quality that it shoots at. You know,
cool.
They even got the iMovie app for it, which I haven't used yet. But
I use it all the time. I love it. I love it. Works really well. What about favorite application on the iPhone?
Look, people look at my iPhone, and I always blame it on my kids, but it's not the kids. It's me. I download games.
Oh. I've
got a whole subsection of zombie games on my I've got a whole folder just of zombie games.
Wow.
I have to admit, every now and then I'll download one and I'll get a little fixated by it. And I have been playing stick cricket a lot lately. Like, it's an absurdly simple game, but that's usually what hooks me into games. I've got, I don't know, 200 games on it, so it's really hard to narrow it down and say, what's my favourite?
Okay, all right. So, Angry Aussie, what other channels do you get involved in?
Oh, okay. I could quickly go and look at my subscriptions and who I'm into. I mean, we were talking before a little bit about how I've set up a YouTube users group for Melbourne people. This came out of when a visiting American YouTuber, Dave Days. Now, he's almost top 10 worldwide. He's number 11 or 12. And, 300 to 500 people showed up just to see him, and I was stunned that there were that many people in Melbourne who would come out. And I found a lot of them were actually making videos, so I'm trying to get people working much more in collaborations, because there's all these people around making videos and they should work together. There's a fun one that I put up on my channel recently. It was an improvised song, essentially. We talked about what was going to be in the song, but And we actually had one rehearsal run, and then we shot it again, and the second one was totally different to the first one and was much better. But it was, what did we call it? It was, Adrian actually uploaded it for me while I was away. It's just called Instant Street Song. And it was, these were really young guys. Like, the musicians in it are like 16 or 17 years old. And apart from me, like, the oldest person in it's about 22. And I was really impressed with their ability to improvise. So everyone in that,
cool.
I was pretty impressed by. But people, like, I have to admit, I really love, I don't know if any of you guys know the Vlog Brothers.
No, I don't know them.
I love the Vlog Brothers, DFTBA.
Exactly. Don't forget to be awesome. I love the positivity they generate. The two brothers, Hank and John Green, one's a musician, one's a writer, and I love their work. They really promote the idea of a YouTube community, and they impart intelligence to their audience, which is quite nice.
Yeah. Have you watched their latest videos about your pants?
Oh, I haven't had a chance because I've been away for a week, and so I'm really behind on watching any subscriptions, so I haven't watched their most recent ones.
They've been doing videos about your pants.
Yeah, everything's funnier when you add in your pants at the end.
Yeah, no, they created a, it's their new social network that they're launching, and they decided to name it Your Pants just because of all the hilarious things they can say about it now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There was a Facebook screenshot. He was deleting the page on Facebook to recreate a different one. It says, "Are you sure you want to remove your pants?" And then he clicks OK, and it says, "You have removed your pants."
All right,
juvenile humor is the best.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, let's get into some tech news, mate.
Alrighty, Google and Facebook have both reportedly held talks with Twitter about buying the privately owned website. Twitter was valued at between $8 billion and $10 billion US in the talks, the Wall Street Journal said, citing anonymous sources. The journal said the company had 2010 revenue of $45 million US dollars, but lost money as it hired and invested in data centers. Investors have shown keen interest in social networking services in recent months. Last month's daily coupon site Groupon raised $950 million in financing after reportedly turning down Google's offer to purchase it for $6 billion. Facebook, which is privately held, is also said to have received $500 million in new funding last month, including $450 million from wealthy Goldman Sachs clients living outside the US and $50 million from a Russian investor. Also last month, LinkedIn, a social networking site geared towards professionals, filed to go public in an initial public offering worth up to $175 million. Twitter and Facebook declined to comment. Google did not immediately respond to message seeking comment. So I'm not sure if Google or Facebook would end up getting Twitter and integrating them. Facebook seems to be doing all right on their own, and Google, anything that they buy just disappears anyway. So
I don't like the idea of Facebook taking over, because Facebook's bad enough in my opinion, and at least there's still Twitter. If I want to get out of Facebook at some point, there's still another big social network I can go to that's not Facebook. If they buy it, what else is there when they decide to screw everybody over? Where do you go? There's nothing else that's really big.
Yeah. Does Angry Aussie go into any of those social networks?
I use Twitter and Facebook. Yeah.
I have data on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm just Angry Aussie on Twitter, and man, it would be so hard to resist that money, though, wouldn't it?
Well, Groupon managed to resist $6 billion.
I did read that about Groupon, and because they focus on the US, I'd never really heard of them, so I read up on them a bit, and I kind of see why they rejected it, because they have a huge turnover.
Yeah, they're opening in Australia in the next month.
Yeah.
There's also Groupon and Scoopon and another half a dozen other ones with similar names. I'm getting sick of them, actually.
Isn't it disturbing when all the similar names come out because someone's successful?
Yeah. They all write off each other's success, or the success of the one.
Yeah, and but none of the imitators ever make it anywhere. Like when Amazon hit big, all these e-retailers were trying to name themselves after other rivers and whatnot. None of them ever went anywhere.
No, just because you got the name and a similar idea doesn't mean you're going to be them.
And even Flickr. Flickr prompted that a really annoying array of
terrible spelling
companies that left the E out at the end, and I'm really glad all of those guys died.
Yeah.
that was just annoying. I was really glad when Twitter came out that they actually had ER at the end.
Yeah. Less disturbing. Nokia. Okay, here's a bad idea. Nokia will adopt Microsoft Windows Phone as its main smartphone operating system in a major strategy shift brought on by rapidly tanking sales for its Symbian-based phones. The Finnish company that once ruled the handset world before the advent of the Apple iPhone and smartphones using Google's Android system has recently seen its market share go into freefall. IT research firm Gartner reports smartphone sales rose 72% last year from a year earlier to 297 million units, but Nokia's share fell to 28.9% from 36.4%. Nokia uses a Symbian operating system, which is seen as outdated compared to the slick, easy-to-use Apple and Android platforms. The deal should help Microsoft's new Windows platform, launched against Apple, Android and others in late 2010, get some market traction. Nokia is a critical juncture where significant change is necessary and inevitable in our journey forward, said Stephen Elop, Nokia president and CEO. Today, we are accelerating that change through a new path aimed at regaining our smartphone leadership, reinforcing our mobile device platform, and realizing our investments in the future, he said. In an internal memo leaked before announcement of the Microsoft deal, Mr. Elop told Nokia employees that our platform is burning. The company will split its phone operations into two new units as of April 1st. How apt. The smart devices unit will concentrate on high-end smartphones, while the mobile phones unit deals with mass market phones. Under the deal, Nokia's App Store will be integrated into Microsoft's Marketplace online App Store, and the pair will combine other assets. Nokia Maps will appear in Microsoft's Bing search engine. Symbian will stay as a franchise platform. The company said there's an installed base of 200 million Symbian phones worldwide and expected to sell about 150 million more Symbian devices in the future. So Nokia's dying, and they've jumped on the flailing Microsoft Windows phone, which doesn't have any traction either.
I think that'd be a big fail.
Sounds like a desperation move.
Yep, for sure.
I think it would have been a lot better if they would have went with Android. If they could
Android,
that
definitely.
One. I mean, yeah. Symbian was a bad operating system. I guess it's hard to say it was a bad operating system. There just wasn't enough support for it. There wasn't big enough community for it, so it wasn't all that great. But Windows Phone 7 is not much better right now. I don't like it, but Nokia is certainly not going to die anytime soon. Nokia is still making more selling $20 prepaid brick phones in a day than Apple's making on iPhones in a year.
Yeah. So the smartphone, not so much, but the burner phones, the feature phones they call them, they'll still be able to do all right with that for now. But yeah, I don't think that Windows Phone 7 is going to help them at all.
No.
There's a lot of Apple fanboys. There's some Android fanboys who definitely don't have Microsoft Windows Phone 7.
Love Apple. I love Apple. Will not go to any other phone but Apple.
How many people are going to say, oh my God, it's got Windows Phone 7. I better buy that one right now. They'll be lined up around the block, right?
Man. No. Oh, yeah. That's a really telling point, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll consider it when it actually gets copy and paste.
Yeah, it still hasn't got that even. And how come people aren't railing so much against that as they did with Apple?
Because no one gives a crap.
Yeah. Windows Phone 7? The federal government says an agreement with Telstra will make rollout of the national broadband network faster and cheaper. Telstra, which announced a big slump in profits today, confirmed it had finalised key commercial terms with the government-funded company charged with building Australia's national broadband network, NBN Co. Today's announcement represents a big step towards bringing affordable high-speed broadband to every home, school, hospital and business in Australia, no matter where they are located, said Communications Minister Stephen Conroy. Customers should expect to pay at least $56 a month to access the NBN, roughly the same as it costs now, but with faster download speeds. The Telstra deal comes as a business intelligence group ranked the NBN among the world's top 10 high-speed internet policies. The commercial teams have paved the way for a final agreement to allow NBN Co. to use Telstra's assets to roll out the network and for the telco to decommission its copper network. So hooray for that, but how many gigabytes are you going to get for your $56 a month, I wonder?
We'll have to wait and see.
get 10 or 20 and you burn through that in half an hour downloading movies.
Yeah,
and then you're
sure.
screwed for the rest of the month.
For sure.
I think Dylan has been following a bit of the NBN over here. What do you think of it, Dylan?
Oh, please don't get me started on this rant again.
Come on, give this your 2 cents worth, mate.
I hate it. I'm. If I wasn't this tired, I'd actually go through all the reasons why I hate it, and I could rant on this for an hour. I've done it on YouTube. It's just like why they're again. It's like I said before. It limits the potential of the internet. It limits content creation, and that's bad.
All right.
And on to our final story. Now when someone tells you to put on your thinking cap, you actually can. Australian research have found a way to temporarily change how we view the world with a thinking cap that stimulates the scalp with electrical pulses. Professor Alan Snyder and Richard Chi from Sydney University's Centre of the Mind, didn't even know they had one of those, said subjects wearing the cap were able to acquire new modes of thinking were 3 times as likely to solve complex problems. We look at the world through what we know, Professor Snyder said. We have lots of preconceptions that allow us to maneuver quickly around the world, but that has a downside. The downside is that we tend to see the world as it was rather than as it is. Professor Snyder and Mr. Chi's cap is designed to account for that condition, opening the brain to new ways of thinking. The possibility of a thinking cap was first suggested by Professor Snyder 8 years ago, and its development has been widely reported. The thinking cap experiments have since yielded positive results. The scientist's publication in peer-reviewed journal PLOS1 is the first to demonstrate the brain stimulation can help people to think outside the box. Urban legends have abounded for decades about people struck by lightning who suddenly acquire the ability to play Brahms' piano concerto, or head trauma patients suddenly developing artistic abilities they didn't have before. In many of these cases, brain trauma victims experience a suppression of the left temporal lobe, which, in layman terms, frees up the right side of the brain to be more creative. Professor Snyder said Mr. Chi's cap artificially manipulates the hemispheres of the brain to recreate the phenomenon. After being exposed to low-level electrical pulses for 10 to 15 minutes, subjects were easily able to acquire new modes of thinking and were able to apply them for up to an hour. Subjects were also 3 times as likely to solve complex problems while wearing the cap. Without the stimulation, only 20% of the people could do it, Mr. Chi said. With stimulation, 60% of people could solve the problem. Professor Snyder said it was the largest cognitive enhancement we're aware of. Despite such results, Professor Snyder said the thinking cap wasn't designed to make people smarter. Its advantage isn't in acquiring more knowledge quickly, he said. The advantage is in seeing the world anew, taking ideas from different places and develop them into new synthesis. It's more of a creativity cap. Well, that's interesting. I'd like to give that a go just to see what it's like.
Yeah, interesting.
Am I the only one thinking I want to use this as an excuse when I tase someone I don't like in the head in court? I'm just trying to make them smarter.
There he goes. IQ's gone up 5 points. Have another go.
it's a perfect get out of jail free card. No, I wasn't assaulting him. I was making him smarter.
Yeah.
Watch him.
It's been reported in the news. Science has proved it.
Any
TiVo news, Jason? Can we report any TiVo news, mate?
No, we've heard rumours back and forth, and we've heard from TiVo who say that they're not dying.
They're not
Everybody
dying.
Else seems to think they are. They've closed down a lot of operations in Australia. Rumours say there's 5 people left supporting it, and only via email. You can't phone them.
I really hope that's not true. I really hope that's not true. 5 people. That's just shocking.
Well, I guess if you've got emails, they can manage it a bit easier, so long as they don't have too many coming.
Yeah, for sure. I just really wish they bring back the phone support.
Yeah, you need something interesting. It's been a pretty quiet platform with not a lot happening for a while.
No.
I mean, it does what it does. It's just the same as all the other PVRs, but it doesn't do much more than that, and they don't have any upgrades or enhancements or even anything that you could purchase to add onto it besides the Casper downloads, which are usually... reasonably old movies or ones that people are not that excited about watching.
Yeah. I've said this a few times. I just really wish they would just do a whole new menu, a firmware update, add some YouTube and that sort of good stuff, and podcasting or whatever.
Yeah.
They need something, that sort of good stuff. Andrew, do you get into TiVo or anything like that, or Foxtel? Or?
I have the Foxtel at home. I have to admit, I got the whole package when they did a package thing for the cable internet with all the channels on Foxtel and their IQ and whatnot. So the Foxtel's an addition to me. I wanted the high-speed internet. Mm. But the kids are all pretty happy with all the channels on the Foxtel. And, yeah, like, I'm not going to use TiVo because I've got the Foxtel box, the IQ box.
Yep.
And I have to admit, I do like it as a convenience. It's chock full of stuff I haven't watched at the moment, but mm-hmm. you know, that's the way it goes.
It does indeed. I hear also
here's my TV.
I also hear T Box is going to be getting Foxtel on there.
Yeah, it's
oh, okay, Foxtel. That'd be interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, Telstra reckons it's going to be going along crazy. If TiVo did die or didn't do much too much improvement, I can always whack Foxtel on my Xbox for $20 a month, and they have pretty decent packages for the basics. So
yeah, but you can't really record though, can you?
I have no idea. You're the one who's got it.
No, you can't record. You can't record on there.
Just watching.
Just watching. Yeah, you can't record.
Oh, well, it's something anyway.
All set reminders and nothing like that, which is quite. Not good.
Well, and by the way, if you want a sign that a company is dying or at least definitely on the decline, when they don't offer phone support anymore and they're just like, hey, we can't afford to pay these customer service reps anymore, email us instead. There's a sign of a company dying and on the decline.
It usually it's the other way around. Hey, we're making money, let's put on phone support.
Yeah, you got to get rid of phone support. That's you got a problem.
Exactly. All right, so Andrew, where can they find the internet on the internet before we go, mate? What's your info and Twitter and stuff?
Okay, the easiest way to find me is on YouTube. I'm Angry Aussie and a few other channels.
All right.
So Angry Aussie on Twitter. And my name on Facebook is Andrew K-A-Y, but that's probably turns up a million results. It's probably easier to go to my YouTube channel. YouTube. And get the link to my Facebook from that.
Yeah.
I used, when they let you do an alias on Facebook, I ended up using Real Angry Aussie because someone had all, by the time I realized you could do that, someone had already claimed Angry Aussie.
So, damn them!
Damn them to hell!
Now's the time to get angry.
Exactly.
You can say something angry at the end of the show.
Hulk smash.
Yeah, no, Hulk smash. Look, I think I can weird people out a bit because I can switch the angry on and off. Should make it a tech. I was trying to think of a tech-oriented rant, but it got squeezed out of my head because we've had so much rain in Melbourne recently, which, you know, all well and good. It hasn't... Well, we had flash flooding, but it's not the rain that bothers me. Idiots bother me. I'm trying to drive at night. This is like on a Friday night, like drunk driving high spot. Friday and Saturday night... And it's dark, it's wet, it's raining, visibility is lousy, and these morons just keep stepping out into traffic. It's like, yeah, this is Darwinism in action. I actually, you know, the idea that I would actually be up in court if I hit them, that's so unreasonable. Clearly, I'd be helping society by taking them out of the gene pool. But no, I run them down, I'm the bad guy. Where's the justice in that?
You need one of those cow catchers like the trains on the front and just knock them.
Just to scoop them, yeah. Yeah, no, that, I reckon you could make a lot of money with a car like that. I reckon you're onto something with just a cow catcher scoop just to shuffle stupid pedestrians out of the way.
Did you see they had to do in the Fortitude Valley in Brisbane, there were too many drunks getting run over, so on this main street there you can only go 40 now at the most on Friday and Saturday nights because of all the drunk people wandering into traffic getting hit.
Yeah, no, that sounds really familiar. Melbourne.
Let's fix the traffic. It's the traffic's fault they're getting hit, not because they're stupid and walking in the traffic and drunk.
I reckon, yeah, you're right with the cow catcher thing. The cops should just have a big truck type thing with a cow catcher scoop on the front. That just it's like a street sweeper, except it sweeps it at drunks. Just drive up and down.
They've just started, when I was moving out of Brisbane a couple of years ago, they were looking at to free up car accidents off the main highways, motorways and such where there's no spare lanes. They're going to get what they have used in other countries, a giant truck with just like a bulldozer on the front and push the whole mess of the accident down the road and off the side so that people can get back going again rather than standing around trying to work out who did what, get the traffic going. So if they had some sort of thing like that...
Hey, you know, I'm loving that. Just particularly in Melbourne, where you go down King Street, where all the lap dancing clubs are and the drunken morons congregate, but just scoop them up.
I don't get this. I mean, I would just think that if there are so many drunk people walking into the street that you have to lower the speed limit on that road,
You'd think they would have cops out there regularly or something to get these people off the street.
It would make sense, wouldn't it?
For sure, for sure.
Don't patrol it. Just lower the speed limit. They'll be fine.
For sure. Okay, Dylan, where can they find you on the internet, mate, before we go? We need to wrap this up.
Everything is at combs.tv, combs.tv, and I'm Dylan Combs TV on Twitter.
Okay, and Warlock, where can they find you, mate?
I'm at jasonoakley.me and Warlock on Twitter, WAULOK.
Okay, and you find me on Twitter, Brad Oz, Tech Luster, and Tech Webcast, new hosting by CBC Studios. Great stuff by Cody and Andrew. Last words before we go, mate.
Last words. That caught me off guard. deep and mean things. Watch my YouTube. Tell your friends. I want to make money from it.
Okay, that's cool. This has been episode 113. Thanks, guys, for being on.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
No worries.
Good day, mate. You've been listening to Tech Webcast. Visit Tech Webcast at www.techwebcast.info.
This is Tech Webcast. Computers.
Technology. Gadgets.
And other geeky stuff.
It's on iTunes. It's awesome.
And it's from the future.
Follow us at twitter.com/techwebcast.
And
on Facebook. And check techwebcast.info for info. Tech Webcast.
Turn on. Tune in. Drop on.